ThePodcastHome.com. Welcome, I'm your host Tony Teolis, and we're keeping track of things to do for a better life. Today is April 27, 2012. This is episode 83 of the To-Do List Home podcast, When to Plant and What to Do for Frost Protection. Coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA, more information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. You'll find files for your to-do list and share your to-do list ideas with us. The song of the day is Love the Way You Lie by Eminem and Rihanna, recorded on Recovery from 2010. Watch and have a listen through the links that can be found in the show notes. What drives this? This is my way of paying back years of using the internet for research, learning, and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency, and reliance. Retiring at age 55 or younger, and thesurvivalpodcast.com today. If you haven't gone to the Survival Podcast yet, go to thesurvivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad, or even if they don't. Todolisthome.com is your stop for learning things that help make life better. We save you money and time. Our home projects and endeavors for making a better life become stories of how we put past experiences and research together to present you projects with a purpose. It should always be important why we do the things we do, especially if we're trying to make a better life. Connect with us. Listen to us on iTunes and podcasts. Watch the To-Do List Home videos on YouTube channel Tokyo73. Follow us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook. Links to all these sites are at todolisthome.com. On our to-do list today is when to plant and what to do for frost protection. If you've been following, or if this is your first time at the website and podcast, I want to let you know that I have been growing a lot of plants indoors since early February. I have sowed seeds regularly since, according to the planting guide that I've placed on the todolisthome.com website. The exciting thing about this growing season is the successful implementation of my homemade soil blocks. A soil block is a block of growing medium that has been lightly compressed and shaped by a form. In my case, I've been using yogurt cups with holes drilled in the bottom to allow for air. A soil block serves as both a container and the soil for starting and growing seedlings, eliminating the need for plastic pots and trays for transplanted seedlings. Seedlings grown in my soil blocks form stronger root systems than those grown in containers due to increased oxygen to the roots, and the soil block's natural tendency to prune roots. Plants suffer less transplant shock because they are put directly into the ground rather than being transferred from pots and having their roots all swirled and tangled, and you have to put them in and they don't quite know what to do with themselves. In episodes 48 and 69, I provided videos on how to make soil blocks and what the results were so far. The success of this experiment was better than expected. Green onions, chives, parsley, endive, Swiss chard, basil, asters, marigold, hot pepper, eggplant, tomatoes, okra, 4 o'clocks, oregano, thyme, chamomile, and more were all sown in soil blocks. All except chives and marigold had 100% success rate for sprouting and growing. The marigolds may have been bad seeds, as the seeds I sowed were second generation, and I wonder if they were bred not to produce. The chives I have no explanation for. I have not been able to start chives in pots or in vermiculite or any soil blocks any way that I attempted. I have planted a lot of chive seeds outside, and I hope to keep an eye on them and see if they'll take hold. However, integral to when the plants get sowed is the date that I use for the last spring frost. Frost forms in much the way that dew forms, and frost usually forms when a surface cools through the loss of infrared radiation to a temperature which is colder than the dew point of the air next to the surface. And the temperature of that surface is below freezing, 32 degrees typically, or 0 degrees Celsius. The source of this moisture is water vapor contained in the air. As with all plants, if plants are suffering from frost damage, it'll be visible quickly. Wilting and discoloration are the most visible signs. With a light or very short-lived frost, only the outer edges of a plant may be damaged, and these areas can typically be trimmed off without inflicting further damage on plants. However, if the ground freezes at all, the root system can be damaged, and this will kill most plants almost immediately. The last spring frost is the date after which frost is not likely to occur. The dates I have been sowing plants is dependent on the planting guide that I've researched in Mel Bartholomew's Square Foot Gardening, and the date that I have used for the average last spring frost is typically the third Friday in April. The planting guide that I have placed at todolisthome.com is an Excel sheet and can be downloaded, and you can adjust it to whatever last spring frost you have. I also have a link in the show notes to Victory Gardens website, which lists the average spring and fall last and first frost dates for all states. And as I mentioned, for the past 3 years, I've been using the third Friday in April as the last spring frost date. I must say, however, that there is no absolute fail-safe date for last frost. If I wanted to be safe, I could use the second Friday in May as the last frost date. However, so far I haven't been able to wait that long because the plants that I start from seed all grow too big and cannot fit under the grow lights anymore by the third Friday in April. Planting vegetables and flowers in the ground before the last frost can be devastating, especially if the plants were started from seed. All the time, hard work, and energy spent would come to naught if attention is not given to the weather. If a frost hits while new young plants like peppers, tomatoes, and cucumbers are in the ground unprotected, and the temperatures go below 41 degrees Fahrenheit, they quickly start a freezing process in the cells of the plant due to their high water content. As the water cells freeze, the cell walls begin to burst, and affected sections quickly discolor, curl, and these areas will not regenerate. The cellular breakdown does not spread like a virus or bacteria, but the plant wastes a lot of vital energy trying to revive the lost growth. To ensure the growth and protection of young plants, I implore two techniques to give them a better chance. First, I harden the plants and get them used to the outdoors by placing them outside for an hour or two each day, starting 2 weeks prior to the intended planting date. This is hard to do, but I employ my kids in this activity, which makes it much less of a chore for me, and it's kind of fun for them, although I'm sure they're old enough now to think of it as a chore. The time the plants are left outside should be extended as the days progress. Hardening plants is important because if you suddenly put them outside to face the rigors of nature with wind removing water from the areas near the leaves, making it drier and forcing them to increase transpiration, their tissues are not adapted to drawing in water from the drier soil. So they are not adapted to the outside temperatures, and their tissues cannot take the buffeting of the wind sometimes. The plants, of course, will suffer. Some plants will have stunted growth, and others will die without hardening off. The other thing I do to protect young plants is to cover them to ward off frost. Covering them can also be useful to protect against insects that like to munch on the leaves of young plants. I have a lot of frost-hardy plants in the ground already, such as peas, chard, spinach, radish, and the slugs are doing the best to munch up what they can. I found covering plants the way I do does not protect them much from slugs. For slug protection, I place plastic covers made from water bottles that I cut open. The slugs can't get to the plants that way, and the ones they do get to are at least expendable to begin with. But the important thing is frost protection. We had an incredibly warm February, a warm March, and April started warmer than usual. However, as is typical, just after I planted the tomatoes, the okra, 4 o'clock, sunflowers, basil, etc. This was all done last week. We got hit with 2 solid days of cold, hard rain. I knew the rain was coming, which is why I wanted to get the plants in the ground, but I didn't anticipate the cold that accompanied it. Or at least the temperature was not predicted to dip below 40 degrees as it did. I did most of the plantings between April 19 and 21, and the rain started an hour after I was finished. It wasn't bad on Saturday, but I awoke to a cold and blistery Sunday. I knew my work would be wasted if I did not take steps to protect the plants that were most vulnerable. Thus, I was outside Sunday in the rain, rigging up my typical PVC pipe and 4 mil clear plastic sheeting. I got this idea from Mel Bartholomew's Square Foot Gardening book a few years ago, and it has always served me well for my purposes. Most people advise against using plastic sheeting and prefer cheesecloth. However, I need a lot of this stuff, and I've yet to find cheesecloth big enough to cover my gardens. The potential heat buildup clear plastic can cause is really limited to situations in which the covered area would be small, with no heat escape, and help magnify the sun's rays greatly. The way in which I set up the PVC domes leaves plenty of space and openings that diminish potential burning. For a typical 4 foot by 4 foot square garden, I would take 2 10-foot-long, half-inch PVC pipes and bend each end into opposite corners of the garden in a manner that forms a large hooped X over the garden. I then take a large enough piece of plastic to drape over the frame, and I use whatever is available to hold the plastic down. It's pretty simple, and the photos at todolisthome.com depict one of the gardens I protected last weekend. I covered 5 of the gardens and protected other plants at risk with plastic bottles. The weather has turned up a little bit for the better, but we still have rain, but the temperatures during the day are in their 60s and the evenings are still above 40 degrees. On a couple of my hugelkultur beds, the rains have brought out the slugs and they have mauled some of the sunflowers and peas, but they're expendable and I still have a lot of those other plants growing in the ground in other places. The cold rain and my delay in covering the plants on Saturday resulted in the loss of at least 1 tomato plant, and 2 others got a little bit of damage on a leaf or two. In the future, I am going to move my last frost date to 2 weeks later and make it the first Friday in May. Right now, the best thing for me to do is to follow permaculture principle number 1, observe and interact. By taking the time to engage with nature, hopefully I can design better solutions that meet my particular situations. That's it for today. Now go and get ready for spring gardening.